My first question to all the parties. The global outlook is increasingly uncertain. It appears free trade is in decline. How do you see this impacting Singapore? And how does your party propose to help Singaporeans deal with these challenges? Well, Mr. Lim, we begin with you, and your 1 minute starts now.
Ms. Edwards, good evening, and thank you very much for the invitation tonight. It was not as if we were not given fair warning that free trade was on the decline. As early as 2022, the CEO of BlackRock already said that globalization was dead. So we were given plenty of warning, but it was a warning that was not heeded by the PAP, who kept talking about globalization. Now, what I propose to do and my party proposed to do in this time is this. Instead of globalization, we must go glocalization. So we must involve the region. We cannot carry on to the drumbeat of the Americans, which led globalization. We must start to cooperate with our regional partners like the Indonesians, the Thais, the Malaysians. But sadly, our foreign policy is out of sync, and we are out of lockstep with most of them. A classic example was what happened with Ukraine, when we followed...
Your time is up, Mr. Lim. Next, Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
PSP, we are aware and we do recognise the potential impact of the US tariffs on the Singapore's economy, but the exact impact is actually hard to predict. So from an economic perspective, this has shown us that Singapore cannot be overly dependent on MNCs and we need to build up our local enterprises and innovation. At the same time, Singapore, we must maintain our trading relationships with various trading partners to hedge our risks in times of uncertainty. From a political perspective, challenges like this require what we would term as national unity through diversity, regardless of our political affiliations. We need a diversity of voices in Parliament, and like SM Lee once said himself, nobody has a monopoly on good ideas. So we need more contestation of ideas in Parliament, which cannot happen unless we have more opposition MPs who are voted into Parliament.
Next, Mr. Philemon. Your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you for the opportunity. It is indeed worrying that free trade is in decline because Singapore is our price takers. But what's more worrying for me is that are we reading the right signals? Because I remember the 2016 US elections. I think we pinned all our hopes on Hillary Clinton and her winning and the hopes that we pinned on the TPP. We all know how that election went and how Trump won. And then the 2018 Malaysian election and how our former Prime Minister was eating durians with Najib. And we know how that election went. So I think we are reading the signals wrong. And that, to me, is very worrying. I think we need to get back on track and read the right signals and make sure that Singapore is well positioned for this change that is coming.
Mr. Tung, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. I think the first thing we need to think about is how to put a backstop on the impact that this retreat from trade wars is going to have on our nation. And the first thing we can look at is friendly nations that we know are still welcoming and eager to trade with us, to move into how we can deepen relationships with them. We are party to the CPTPP. We have our friends in ASEAN who we can think about how to work with them to deepen our connections with them so we can kind of lighten the impact from the realignment. But of course, there will still be some impact on the Singaporean worker who might be dislocated because of this realignment. And for them, we want to ensure that that famed trampoline that President has talked about, where they can bounce back from this difficulty, is a real lived experience. And so we put forward ideas such as the redundancy insurance or mandatory retrenchment benefits to ensure that we are able to give these folks kind of a leg up and an ability to bounce back when they have to be dislocated as a result of this trade realignment.
Next, Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes starts now.
I think it is clear that we are entering into a more turbulent and uncertain environment. The international order is fundamentally changed, and we need to work together to move forward in this new world. Businesses, of course, are worried about tariffs, but I think what is even more troubling for them is the uncertainty. So they are unable to make investment decisions, hiring decisions, and this would then have an impact on the job market and on our workers. So as PM has said, Singaporeans need not fear. And this is because the PAP government has already started preparing, laying the foundations, preparing Singapore for this more volatile environment. Being well prepared is a hallmark of the PAP government. We rolled out a $143 billion budget this year, and part of it is to help Singaporeans to be able to cope with immediate concerns, help businesses to be able to cope with immediate concerns, but also a large part of it is to help our companies and our workers to stay competitive in this medium to longer term. Now, we have also got a task force that is set up and helmed by DPM Gunn, and I'm part of this task force. And together with Minister Desmond Lee, we're going to look at how we can grow our economy, but in a different way. We have to look at reconfiguring our trade links, our supply chains, but importantly also to seek out new opportunities for our companies and our workers. The government will continue to monitor the developments closely because this is a very fluid situation, and we stand ready to do more if necessary. As in past crisis, the PAP government will have your back. Rain or shine, we will walk this journey together with all Singaporeans. Now, the next thing is that Singapore benefits from a trusted brand name. We have a very strong international reputation. And this is also what the PAP government has built up since our independence, together with all Singaporeans. We embrace an open economy. We stay connected with the world because we believe that is the best way to grow our economy. We manage our diplomacy carefully, and we have established good linkages with our neighbours and also many other like-minded countries. Mr. Teng mentioned about CPTPP. That is actually one of the free trade agreements. We have 27 altogether. We have 4 digital economy agreements. And the CPTPP, actually, if you add up all the countries there, they constitute about 30% of global GDP. The US is not part of this, but the rest of the countries constitute 30% of the global GDP. So our ease of doing business, our stability, our ability to plan long-term, our strong tripartite partnership, all these are signature Singapore attributes that investors look for. And in this more uncertain and volatile environment, our trusted brand name actually has an even higher premium. Now, finally, unlike many other countries, we are tackling this crisis from a position of strength because we have the fiscal resources and, importantly, our reserves. Our reserves have been accumulated over generations. They give our people the confidence that when we promise to support Singaporeans, we have the resources to do it. Not just for now, but also into the future, for as long as it is needed. And this is yet another hallmark of the PAP government. We are well prepared, we save for a rainy day, and we resist the temptation to spend more from the reserves unless there's a critical need. Now, we can navigate these uncharted waters if we stay together. I think that's the key point. We have our strengths, as I mentioned earlier, and for 60 years, the PAP has served Singaporeans and steered Singapore through many crises, challenging times. We have the experience and know-how to chart a course through choppy waters and to tackle the challenges with real solutions. And we have been able to do this because Singaporeans place your trust and worked with us, place your trust in us and worked with us. And as we face these brewing storms ahead, we once again ask for your trust and support.
Now, Professor Liao, your question for PAR, please.
So, on the campaign trail, it has been suggested by your party that perhaps the impact of the Trump tariffs might have been exaggerated. In that respect, I was wondering if you can share some thoughts on how you reconcile that with the fact that Singapore is heavily reliant on global trade and the global economic system.
Mr. Lim, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you, Professor. Professor, I would like to finish off my answer to Ms. Edwards' question earlier. What I want to do in this current state is to promote our SME and make sure that they can produce the goods that the world and the region wants. And we want a bank specially set up to finance the SMEs so that they can not only go global, they can go regional as well. Now, coming to the Trump tariffs, I see the Trump tariffs as primarily a tool to contain the rise of China. How it's going to end is beyond anyone's comprehension. We saw how Trump suspended tariffs for 90 days, all right? And I think at the end of the day, there could be a silver lining in the cloud because Singapore enjoys a lowest tariff. Many foreign companies are going to relocate to us. It could be a golden age for our industry, our economy, but I want to say that golden age must be
Your time is up, Mr. Lim. Professor, your question for PSP, please.
So, given that there really is very little indication that the US and China, the competition between the two largest economies in the world, is slowing down or abating, how do you think Singaporeans should prepare for what looks like a long-drawn trade war between the two largest economies in the world?
Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
On a national level, we are of the view that we need to first take steps to diversify our economy, and that includes also strengthening our domestic capacities. And one way of which is by reducing the cost of doing business in Singapore. We have one proposal, which is for the issuance of national guidelines on rent increases for commercial properties. And we need to encourage domestic entrepreneurship and innovation. But to do that, Singaporeans must first feel financially safe to do so. And that is why PSP also has proposals to reduce the cost of living and the cost of housing, because we believe that when we relieve financial stress on Singaporeans, we will free them and give them the leeway to upskill, to reskill, and to take risks to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, moving on, Professor, your question for RDU, please.
So I believe the RDU has made the case that Singapore needs to strengthen its domestic economic foundations as a means to deal with the exacerbating trade tensions. Do you have any thoughts about specific policies that should be embarked on by the government to do this?
Mr. Philemon, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. Mr. Chi earlier said that the PAP will always have your back. I think the specific policy starts from that, because I think many Singaporeans have this perception that their bags are not covered. So that one specific policy to put more money into the pockets of citizens is to cut GST from 9% to 7%. That will immediately put more money into the pockets of people, and people will feel more confident, they will consume more, and it's very different from the GST cashback scheme, because that comes once or two times a year, whereas you spend GST every day, and that's painful for many Singaporeans. So I think that's one policy proposal that we must emphasize, that we must go back to the 7% GST. We must roll back the 9% GST. Thank you.
Professor Liao, your question for WP, please.
So the WP, as I understand it, has emphasized that there would actually be strategic opportunities, and Singapore should be positioned to take advantage of those opportunities, even in light of the ongoing trade war. Can you share some thoughts on what some of these opportunities could be and how Singapore can position itself precisely to take advantage of them?
Thank
Mr.
you.
Tan,
sorry.
Your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about two specific opportunities. I think the first is thinking about how we can look at industries where we may have become more price competitive as a consequence of the trade war. Right? We look at industries in Singapore, for example, the semiconductor industry, where there is a chance that because of how the relative tariffs have been placed upon other nations in the region, we could actually have an advantage in this scenario to actually capture more of the market. So it's about looking at these kind of industries and seeing how we can double down a little bit more to give it the room to grow. The second, I think we have a shared purpose here around the second one, which is how we grow local SMEs, how we help create more leaders of industry in our nation. And one of the big initiatives that we put forward is an Exim Bank, to allow these companies more access to capital, easier access to capital. So as they want to grow and move into other parts of the region or the world, they have an easy way to do so. We think that's going to help seize the opportunities. We think that's the way forward.
Professor, one question for the PAP, please.
If we have a meeting with Trump tomorrow, and setting aside the Zelensky experience, how would you go about pressing Singapore's case, Singapore's interests, beyond just telling Trump that actually Americans will suffer from the trade policies that he's embarking on?
Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes starts now.
Thank you. I think the first point I would convey to Mr. Trump is that between US and China, we would not want to choose sides, because the only side that we will choose is the side of Singapore and Singaporeans. We act in our national interest. We have strong ties with the US in defense and security, and the US is also a large investor here in Singapore and in the region. China is one of our largest trading partners, so both are important to us. And for Singapore to survive, we must continue to maintain our relevance and our credibility with both countries and, in fact, with the rest of the world. And because we have been consistent, we have been principled and reliable, they know that when Singapore takes a stand, it is not because we are doing it at the behest of somebody else, but because we have done our own calculation and we are acting in our long-term national interest. So that's the first point I will make to Mr. Trump. The second point is that we would like the US to remain engaged in Asia. As I mentioned, the US is a major investor. There are many US companies, including in semiconductor and many areas. And if you want to help our SMEs, actually having MNCs here, whether from US or from other developed countries, is actually helpful to our SMEs because it provides opportunities for our SMEs. We shouldn't see this as a zero-sum game. We can help both the SMEs and also the MNCs to grow, and then we help our workers to have better jobs. So the second point I'll make, Mr. Trump, is that the US should remain engaged in Asia, both for defense and security, but also in the area of the economic development and investments. MAGA should not stand for Make America Go Away. We want America to remain engaged. And the third point I will say to Mr. Trump is this, that Singapore may be small, but we are not without agency. We have options. And, you know, earlier we were discussing about how we seek out new options, new trading partners, new trade links. I think that is part of what we have to demonstrate, because as we know, Mr. Trump is a very tough negotiator. And if he knows that we have no other options, he will squeeze us hard. So the best way to negotiate with a tough negotiator is to demonstrate that we have options. We have like-minded partners that we can work with, and we can look at how we can continue to open up, forge new trade links. We can look at how we can speed up our enterprise and workforce transformation to help our companies become more productive, to help our workers become better skilled. And we can also look at how we can team up. Team up domestically between our tripartite partners, but also team up internationally with the region and with other like-minded partners. I would also like to make a point about the importance of unity domestically. Because for us to be able to deal with other countries with confidence and from a position of strength, Mr. Trump must know that when we negotiate with him, we have the support and backing of Singaporeans. If he thinks that domestically we are not united, that will be a point of weakness for Singapore. So if we want to be able to navigate in this more complex, uncertain world, and to be able to deal with tough negotiators like Mr. Trump, we have to demonstrate to them that Singapore, domestically, our people, we will support the policies, we will stay united. There's a lot of stability within our country to take a united stand. We are one team, Singapore. Then I think we'll be able to negotiate well and fight for the best interests of Singapore and Singaporeans. Thank you.